Okay. Welcome to There She Goes podcast. I'm so excited today. Finally, we are about to start this journey. It's been so many years. I've been just dragging my feet, and finally, like I always say, if there's a season, there is a reason. And I believe this is the third season. No, this is the reason for, this is the season. And there's a reason for this season. Right. Today, I'm not alone. I'm with my sister, Altes. I'm so excited to share with you. We have been talking and I'm like, why are we not recording right now?
Exactly.
Why are we not recording? It's so important to share what we're about to share, because I think there's so much to say. With this title, Out of Darkness, we were just talking about so many things. I think before I introduce the verse that we're gonna share, please meet Altes, say a word, introduce yourself. Welcome to There She Glows.
Well, hello. Like she said, my name is Altes, and I'm here, you know, just to have a conversation. I like to think about it as a conversation.
Yes.
About everything about the kingdom, mainly, right? And just speak around the things that are happening, and you know, of course, quote the scriptures and all of that. But yeah,
just be real.
Just be real.
Raw.
No filters. No.
Absolutely no filters.
Just us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today we are actually in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. If you have your Bibles, please read. You can read it by yourself. But I think it's so amazing that this inspiration came about, because we are actually in darkness, as we say. Le monde, the world is a chaos. You know, they're talking about nuclear war. They're talking about depression on TV, people committing suicide. Honestly, I think it was just an appropriate first episode for us to talk about this, because I think it's so important. Like the Bible says, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And we were just sharing, I was telling Altes about this series that I watched on Netflix, about this serial killer, Jeff Dahmer. It's so popular now, I think everybody has watched it already. But he did so many evil things. He ate human flesh, human heart. He did all this thing. He drugged the guys. Not only that, he was a gay man. All these things that he did. But what was so important for me, like one thing that I can say that touched my heart most on this whole story, is how he ended up. Of course, he got 15 lives in jail or something like that. Basically, it was done for him. But he found Christ and gave his life to Christ. And he was baptized in the jail. And after that, he got killed. Altes, tell me. Way that we know the Bible and we know God's mercy and grace, like, what would you say, like, we can just imagine, you know, I don't know whether what he did was genuine or not, but for me, I think this man is in heaven.
I mean, like, I think what I can say is what really matters is the end, you know?
Yeah.
Even the Bible tells us that. It's really the ending place, right? The end of it, the end of your story is kind of what really matters in the eyes of God, because sometimes you even see, like, pastors or, you know, other, like, men of God, women of God, they probably did, like, 40 years in ministries, you know, working hard, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit, abiding in the Word. But then at the end, you know, like towards like their end, they depart from that.
Right.
And pretty much those 40 years of ministries is erased.
Right.
It's deleted. Mm-hmm. God is not looking back at that saying, oh, well, you've served me for 40 years, and on the 45th, 46th year, you decided to go and serve the devil. No, it doesn't matter. It's who you decided to end your life with, you know, that matters. So only God really knows where he's at. But if we are to speak on that perspective, I would say, of course, you know, he probably does have a place there in heaven, because at the end of it all, he repented.
Right.
He met Christ. He encountered Christ. And you were telling me earlier, before we even started recording the podcast, about how he was trying to find means, you know, move around to try to get to get baptized, because in prison, it wasn't, you know, that was not an option that was
available.
So if somebody's like doing all of that, you know, trying to go out of their way, make other people go out of their way to get baptized, is because he really understood. He really understood where, you know, who Christ is, and what it means to have eternal life. And he wanted that eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And not only that, the fact that, you know, what struck to me was the fact that he was mentioning, like, he professed, come on, he said it with his mouth. He said, I believe in Christ Jesus. I was lost, and now I found my way back. And that was so touching. And like we were saying, actually, it's sometimes the Lord uses ways to expose, like it says here, you know, he's the light. So wherever there's darkness, he'll bring the light, and whatever that was in there will be exposed. And I think whatever he did, the crimes that he did, it was exposed when the police caught him. And the whole world, like today, it's number one. It's a number one show on Netflix. Everybody knows what he did. So it was exposed because of the lights that the Lord used a guy to call the police and get him arrested.
Right.
But the fact that he got exposed led him to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it led him to Christ. If he wasn't arrested himself, he said it, if I wasn't arrested, I don't know where it would be. I don't know what I would have done, because he still got those thoughts. He's not saying, no, if I was not arrested, I would stop. He said it. If I was out there, I would have probably kept going. But because now everybody knew what he was doing. And not only him, you know, there's a lot of situation in our lives with the story that I'm actually going to let you see that story, because it is so, like, it's authentic. Like, there's a lot of things that we do in our lives that we are so caught. Well, comment dit? C'est comme des péchés chéris.
Yeah,
you
know? Mignon.
Like, yeah.
You cherish it.
And there has to be a day where the Lord will expose it for you to finally give up and say, no, I've had it. I'm going to stop. And that's also a way of God calling us to him.
Exactly.
He needs you for a specific reason, which leads me to talk about the story of the Samaritan woman. Actually, she had to meet with the Messiah in order for her to go and be an evangelist and win souls and talk about Christ, because he told them what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Not only everybody in her city knew what she has done. She was a prostitute, adulterer, and all that things. But God, Jesus, had to come and tell her, bring to light what she was doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
For her to understand that I was lost. Now I found the Lord. You are the Messiah.
Exactly.
I want you to tell us that story, because honestly, I don't think anything else can really make us understand bringing things to light in that way. It's so real.
Right. And like, just even before, like, I even got into the story, you see, God has like a funny way of doing things sometimes.
Oh yeah,
a funny way of doing things sometimes. And as you stated, he was exposed, and if he was not exposed, he probably, you know, would have continued doing what he was doing. Mm. But we go back to this verse that you gave on, like, John 3:3. It says, I'm looking at the Amplified version. It said, this is the judgment, right? So when there's judgment, that means it's like a trial going on, right? Mm. Trial, and it's usually sometimes like one, you know, two people that, you know, going through the trial that are before the judge. That's how these things usually happen. Mm. But when we see the scripture, who's really on trial here? Is it Jesus that was on trial, or is it us? Because back then, you know, in reading the scriptures, it looks like Jesus was on trial all the time. Mm. You would see, like, they would come and start asking him questions to trick him, you know, like, to basically, it's like they always put him on trial. It's like, oh, well, what do you think about this? Well, mm-hmm. you know, like, what do you say? Because the law of Moses, you know,
says this. Yeah.
But what do you say? You know, so it's like they always kept him on trial. But
especially the Pharisees.
Exactly. Yeah. When they came with a woman that was called adultery, right? You know, there was always, it's like Jesus was constantly on trial. At least that's how it was, they were making it seem. Mm. But Jesus had a way of putting them back on that seat of judge. Let me tell you. And you're the one that's doing, you know, convicting them of their wrongs. Because when the adultery, you know, when they came and said that, oh, well, this woman, you know, she was caught up in adultery and stuff. It's like they were putting him on trial. Like, yes, what do you think? But he put them back on the hot seat by convicting them of their sins. Like, if any of you would, you know, think that I have never done any wrong, go ahead and throw that stone at her.
Stone, yeah.
But when I was reading the scriptures, I was thinking to myself, and I was like, wow, the scriptures now put us on trial. It's a way of us to examine ourselves. And the scripture is the light, the word is the light, you know, at the beginning was the word, and all of that, as you know, the book of John tells us. But I just kind of wanted to, like, outline that a bit, because we are the ones on trial constantly with the word of God, and we need to think about that. We are standing in the courts of heaven, we are standing before our heavenly Father. Everything we do is being assessed.
Right.
But what I was telling my sister Georgia was a story about, I think it's the alcohol story. So, oh my God, this, when people hear this, guys, I've been gonna be,
girl, it's a testimony.
We are wrong. It's a testimony. We are speaking. So when I started, like, taking my walk with Christ seriously, because, you know, I grew up in the church and that, but I got saved in, like, 2016. Even though I was already in the church, I was in the choir, I was not saved.
Right.
You know, I just knew, you know, Christ, and, oh, Jesus loves me and I love him, and, you know, all of that stuff. But then since 2016, I've been trying to keep myself on check, you know, like, oh my God.
Right.
But then I noticed that starting last year, I had cut off. No, when did COVID start? Like 2020. There you go. So I was at that point already, I was like, no to alcohol since like 2018. I'm like, I'm not gonna get drunk again. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm done with alcohol. But I've never been, like, I had never been fully convinced. You know, like, oh, you cannot have any type of alcohol whatsoever. But I've always come to the Holy Spirit like, oh my God, please help me, convince my heart, convince my soul that this is bad for me. I will even pray, like, make me, don't come and degu, let me be disgusted, you know, of alcohol and stuff. So earlier this year, I met with some friends, and I think even when I went to Toronto back in, was it like May or so?
I think it was June.
June.
Yeah.
We went out with my sister, George. And we ordered cocktails. You know, we ordered cocktails. We just went to a seafood place, but they had cocktails. So when the cocktails came, initially we had not ordered them with alcohol. We didn't. Right. We said no alcohol.
Right.
But the cocktails came with alcohol. Girl. So my sister Georgia, as soon as she put that thing like up her nose, she's like, no, 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 no. This has alcohol.
Girl, so I have experience. I can smell that.
So I taste it and I'm like, oh yeah, it has alcohol. And she's looking at me like,
are you okay?
So then she tells, you know, the guy to the server, like, this has alcohol, we don't want it. And I'm like, I'm keeping mine. So her and another sister that was there with us, they switched it, you know. They're like,
we don't want alcohol.
I'm like, I'm keeping my drink. So I drink it. It was nothing strong, guys, but it had alcohol in it, and I was fully aware. But I was like, ah, it's just a little, you know, a little something.
Right.
This is not gonna harm me. So that experience happened, and after I met up with some of my friends back then, they're not safe, but it had been a while, you know, so we decided to have like a girls' night and stuff like that. And long story short, when I went there, they had wine. So they had wine, and you know, I was like, okay, they're like, oh, you should have some wine with us. I'm like, it's just wine.
Especially they offered.
Yes, they offer, you know, because they're like, and those friends too, man, they have a way of throwing things in your face.
Tell you.
You know, serving you with a bit of guilt. So I'm like, ah, okay, fine. I'll just have a little glass of wine. So I'm sitting there with them. We're talking, we're laughing. I have a glass of wine. We're talking, we're laughing. I have a second glass of wine.
Boy.
And then I feel like physically someone sitting next to me. And even though I was talking to the girls, he's talking to me. And they served me a third glass. And he says, if you take this third glass, I'm leaving.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit. He tells me, he says, if you take this third glass, I am leaving. Guys, even though I was conversating with other people, I knew who I was speaking with.
Right.
I knew who I was speaking with, and I started feeling bad at that moment. I was like, oh my God, I wasn't drunk, you know, I wasn't really acting out of character per se, but he knew that I was doing too much. I was going too far with it. And so I told them like, oh, it's time for me to go. And guys, this is the part. And then when I'm about to leave, these friends, right, you would think they don't watch you. They watch you. They watch everything you say. When you're like, oh, now I'm no longer living a life of sin. I've given my life to Christ.
They watch. They know.
They watch. They're like there. So then one of the girls is like, girl, I was so shocked to see you drink with us today. I was shocked to see you have a glass of wine.
But they offered, you know.
But they offered. Yeah, when they said that, I was soaked, man. I was ashamed of myself.
It would have just pierced your heart right in the middle.
Yeah. I was like, what a misrepresentation. And the people that invited me to drink are not convicting me of my sin. They're now telling me like, girl, in a way it's like, girl, did you tell us you were not going to drink? And now you drink? So I was telling my sister, then on my way home, I was repenting. And when I was repenting, and the Holy Spirit was like, no, this doesn't stop between you and I. You have to expose it.
Right.
And you see, that's where this verse comes from. Because when we are exposed, sometimes we take it wrongly. And
right.
It's like when I was telling my sister, one time God exposed me to somebody in a dream. I was mad. I was upset. I was like, why that person? You know, you have that person.
That specific person.
Yeah, that specific person that you don't deem them you know, right.
You don't want them to know anything about your life.
They, exactly. You're like, when they know, man, they're going to drag it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's that person that God went to show something concerning me. And I was mad about it.
Mm.
But what I understood was, when God exposes us, sometimes being exposed is not bad.
Right.
Come on. It's not always bad. Yeah. Mm. It's for yourself. It's also so that, you know, the devil is not using those things against you. Because when you're doing things in the secret, that's when the devil, you know, that's that darkness they're talking about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even like pornography and stuff like that, people that masturbate and people that watch porn, you know, it's done in the secret. No right. one turns on the light, sit in their mm. living room and just mm. be playing, you know, like, that's kind of another level.
In a way, like, expose the devil for him to be ashamed. Like, you expose his deeds. Bad. He's ashamed. Yeah. Ashamed the devil by exposing him.
By exposing him. So yeah. when he saw me in that car, you need to tell someone else. And I remember I had called one of my older cousins, because he's really rooted in the word. And I, like, look up to him. Mm. So I was like, if I tell him, I know I'm going to feel ashamed.
Mm.
And that helped me. So instead of me calling him right when I was thinking that, he calls me. And he's like, where are you? I'm at your house. It's late. Come home. You know, and then the Holy Spirit's like, yep. That's it, speak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, speak to him. But I went ahead, you know, and told him. I was like, guys, even though I don't get drunk, or I don't, you know, go to the bar and sit down and start drinking, mm-hmm. I think my little sin that I cherish so much,
mm-hmm.
alcohol, I feel like a tiny bit of alcohol will not cause me any harm. But ever since then, you know, I know that he has me on check.
Right.
Now I know that somebody else knows, and I'm not ashamed of it. That's not a sin that I'm walking around carrying and hiding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes for us to be exposed is good. Let the lights come.
But you see, if that didn't happen, you would have probably, like, you know, you would have continued. And I think you told me that you were saying, you were telling the Holy Spirit, you know, tell me even if the little that I take with my cocktail, if it's, you know, if it's yeah. bad. Or, yeah. I feel like in a way, the Holy Spirit gave you an answer right there.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we expect the Lord to speak to us with a loud voice. I don't want you to drink alcohol. So sometimes he uses circumstances and events and people and situations to give us the response. We just have to be attentive. And that's why I think it's very important. I always say this, to really be in communion with the Holy Spirit, because when you are in the communion with the Holy Spirit, you will know. And a perfect example is my mom. Oh my goodness. My mom was so strict when I was younger. Her eyes alone, she never laid hands on me, but her eyes alone gave me all the messages that I needed.
Yes.
Like, you know, you outside with people and then they give you something to eat and you look at your mom, she's looking right.
Eyeing you.
You know. Right, you know not to eat, you know not to behave a certain way. And I think it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. When you are in communion with him, you spend time getting to know who it is, developing your relationship, you will know what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do or not to do, without yelling in your ears or without just, you know, speaking like people would expect. It could just be you're about to drink and the cup fell. You could have the discernment and say, the Holy Spirit didn't want me to do this and I won't do it.
Right.
And it's so important. That's why we're talking about the light.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about darkness could be just anything. It doesn't have to be like Jeff Dahmer or alcohol. It could be anything at all, you know. That's something, like when I was I was telling my sister at this, something that the Lord has taught me this year was, not everything he does is for us to, you know, he doesn't have, even the Bible says he has plans, les plans de bonheur et non de malheur.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just have to look at his interest.
Right.
I was telling him, I just, the goal is heaven. The goal is salvation. If he has the possibility to use any way, any means to save you, he will do it. If he has to expose you on national television, if he has to expose you to your parents, he has to do it, because what he wants is your full attention. He wants to save you, basically. But just to say another thing is that some people, God doesn't really speak to them at this. Let's get real on that. Because I remember when
he doesn't speak to them, or sometimes they just don't know the voice of God as well.
Right. Because
I was thinking, you know, the wine thing, when you were speaking, I thought about it, because I'm like, the fact that I had two glasses before hearing that voice, it doesn't mean that that's when he spoke.
Right.
That's when I paid attention.
Right.
That's when I yielded to his voice, because I knew what I was doing from the beginning. And that doesn't mean that, oh, two glasses of wine is good. Right. No, that's not what it means.
He was saying,
like, girl, come on now. I'm tired of us having this same conversation over and over again.
I'm just like, gonna leave.
I'm just gonna leave. Like, if you're gonna have another glass of wine, it doesn't mean, oh, another glass right now. I'm like this today, if you have a third glass, I'm leaving. But tomorrow, if you have one, I'm staying. No. Nah, like, come on. Right. That's it. No more. Don't do it again. But acknowledge, I think it's, we need to work on hearing the voice of God.
Yeah, you can read your Bibles, you know, you can read the many, there's so many things. Like, once I started really paying attention to the Bible and studying the scriptures, I realized that it's so rich. Everything, there's a response, there's an answer to everything that you could think of in the Bible. You know, just like we go on Google to look for information, the same thing with the Bible. It's so rich, and it has absolutely everything that you need. And like I was saying before, actually, you know, when God uses someone to expose, you know, in situation like you were in masturbation and the Lord shows it to a brother, and then
those things, man.
That could be rough. But, you know, I think the people that the Lord uses, you could be one of those people that the Lord had used to expose a certain situation. I think God also puts compassion in their heart, because God is not going to show someone. That's what I think. God is not going to show me that. Okay, give an example. As this, yesterday you slept with a man, and then the Lord put it in my heart to tell, the Lord shows it to me to talk to you, and then after I start criticizing you and start going around and telling people about it, I don't think so. And that's what we see in the church today.
Yes.
The same people saying that the Lord spoke to me or the Lord uses me, they're the same people going out and criticizing the people that, you know, the Lord is trying to work on. And I remember this one time we had a conversation. We were talking about the hospital, like emergency room. And I was telling you about the emergency room project that the Lord put in my heart. And you also told me about the vision that you had. It's the same thing. Yes. When we come to church, it's a hospital. Many people have their problem. And now if the Lord uses you to help another soul, it's, don't take the glory or don't feel like you're perfect.
Yes.
You know, and one time I remember in 2014, I told God, I said, you know, when you just got baptized, you feel like you want to go to heaven today. Like, you feel like I'm in heaven already. I was so in love with Christ. I said, Lord, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to sadden the spirit. If there's anything in me, if there's anything that I say or I do that you don't like, expose me.
Oh, that prayer, man. That
but prayer. When you're making that prayer out of love for Christ, you don't really realize.
You don't realize what's going to come at you.
What you're saying. And so I made that prayer, and all of a sudden, everybody started having dreams and visions about me. Everybody. I saw you this, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Stop. I don't do that.
I'm like, But there were some that, you know, when the person is giving me the message, it pierced, it goes straight in my heart. And you yeah. know that's real. That's true. Real. The Lord has spoken. But then there's others where I'm getting the messages, but you can feel the person is judging you at the same time.
At the same.
One thing that we need to pay attention is every time we talk, every time we say something, the devil also is listening.
Mm.
He has his agents on a watch out, like, you know, mm-hmm. the Lord will speak, but he also will speak. And that's why we were talking about the relationship with the Holy Spirit, to be able to recognize that this is the voice of the Lord and this is the voice of the devil. And that was my case. So then I started taking in everything at a point where it started making me sad, like depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I had to make another prayer. I said, Lord,
stop it.
Please. Not no. Him. Mm-mm. I had to say, if you don't speak to my spiritual father or mother or my brother, I won't listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's so faithful and loving. And it was like a wind and everything just went quiet. Till this mm-hmm. day, it's really rare for someone to call me and say, I had a dream of you, about you and this and that. Because it started getting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to pay attention to.
It definitely. You know what? I was actually guilty of that. And I'm glad that I can even bring it out to light now. When I first started, I think like ending of last year, November, there mm-hmm. was a conference. I think it was November. It was the first conference that was open to all of us. I mean, for us in the U.S., the conference that happened there in Toronto with the Redeemed Woman.
Mm.
Was it the Upper Room conference where you preached and then, like, you know, like other people preach? I think Jonathan and all of
that. I think it was the Redeemed. No, it was the Upper Room conference. Oh, yeah. Good conference. I'm not sure.
Right. So I went there, and after that, I had a powerful visitation. And then even the servant of God, the man of God there, he started, like, prophesizing, you know, over me and telling mm-hmm. me about the oracles, you know, like, of God and stuff like that. And when I came, Georgia, I was on fire.
Mm.
I was on fire seeing things, people's businesses. I was seeing things, right? But I felt like it was a tryout there, you know, like it was a little trial that God was giving me, like a free trial. And he showed me something that was, wow. It shocked me, right?
Mm.
And, you know, I can't really go into details because it's people's stuff. But it was very shocking to me.
Mm.
She did this. How do you say? I was shocked.
In a shock, yeah.
I was shocked. And I was disappointed, right?
Mm.
Of those things that were happening.
Mm.
To them and told them, like, oh, this and that happened and this and it was great, right?
Mm.
At first my walk was fine, you know, but inside of me, girl, when I tell you, I was judging. I was like, how dare you? Then tomorrow you're gonna stand and tell me this and this and that, like, but you know I was judging. I was At that moment, I was feeling big and bad, like you said the word.
Mm.
I was feeling like I reached perfection. You're down there, you know what I'm saying? And then it kind of frustrated the people also, and it put them in a bad place, because the message, the intent, and my mom that I love so much, oh, my spiritual mother, where she is, she was telling me. And one time we were sharing with her, and she says to me, the intent is not the message. It's not, c'est pas faire parvenir le message that matters. It's how you're communicating
exactly.
that
message.
If you're communicating it with love, if God shows you something about someone and you come to only them, not go and tell their sisters later, their cousins later, their whatever later, but you come to them and you're doing it with constructive criticism, that's the best way to go about it, because it will lead the person to repentance. But when you're coming at them funny, and then you go and tell other people, sometimes tu te rebelles.
Right.
You know, you're like, bruh, you're supposed to come at me with love, show me the love of Christ. But, you know, it frustrates the person, and it also takes, it might take that soul away from Christ.
Right.
So we need to be careful when receiving things and seeing things, and make sure you're really receiving those things.
Right. But,
yeah.
But I think when the Holy Spirit shows us something, or tells us something about someone else, or even for ourselves, it's really important for us to pray and ask Him to help us deliver it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very important, the delivery, the package, like you said.
That's,
you know, it's very very important, because sometimes out of the emotions we could say things that, you know, or even out of the zeal, you know, sometimes you're so, there are people that are so in love with Christ, which is not bad, but those zeals sometimes could harm people. And that's why it's so important. I always say, God, I'd rather you not show me anything about anybody, because
for real.
Right. If you do not put patience, because you know some people, you'll go see them and tell them God said this and that. They're just saying words to you that rebuke you
up from somewhere.
He's like, what do you think? God only speaks to you? Because I've had those before. But it's very important for us to do that. But I, like I said, like we said before, the, what the Bible is saying here, that, what does it say again? The lest his deeds should be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
It's for ourselves. I think anybody listening to this podcast right now, you might be going through a time where right now it's not okay, like you're in complete depression because someone found out something that you were doing, or some people are talking about you. You know what I like about the story of the Samaritan woman? I absolutely love that woman.
Love her.
It's really sad that we don't have her name. But I love the story of that woman, because everybody, like I said, everybody knew her story. Everybody was talking about her. The fact that she had to go draw water in the afternoon when everybody goes in the morning, just so that she would avoid the ice.
It was a lot.
You know, it was a lot. Have you been to Arizona? It's so hot. It's so hot. And I imagine at noontime, you're going there and carrying your bassinet in your head. And the fact that she was doing that, you can have a clear understanding of how bad it was. Like, everybody was talking about her. But the fact that people knew of her story, it was also for the glory of God. Because, listen, because once she met with the Messiah, she had to go back and evangelize and tell these people of what she has just experienced. So if they didn't know her story, they wouldn't believe what she's saying. They wouldn't believe the change that they saw. So sometimes when people know your past, all the things that you used to do, it's not only, girl, it's never embarrassing when it's in the purpose, it's in the will of God. Don't look at yourself like, I can't show up because people know this, people know. Let them know, so that when God will raise you up or change you completely, give you a testimony, so people can say, we knew her from back then, so we can really say that God is real.
Right.
Because that's what happened with the people that were saying. They were saying that we now believe that he is the Messiah. Because the state of this woman, the way she was, no one else could have changed her. No one else could have brought her out of dark darkness.
Yes.
There must be a God. So even I remember, sorry, there's so many things to say at once. I remember when I was in the world, you know, my testimony, I was drinking and all this, clubbing and all that. And my choir leader, Papa Eli, actually saw my pictures. He knew me from back then. And every time I worship, he kept repeating to me, he's like, wow, I can't believe it's you. I can't believe it's you. And it's the same thing for you who are listening right now. Don't even look at your past. Look at your future. It's all for the glory of God. The purpose is for God to get all the glory, not for you to say, if I did this, it was by my own strength. This, but no, it's really God who is good.
Who is good, right? Right. And just a little word there. You know, when you spoke about your story, I don't know if you recall, in some of our conversations, what I want to say is that when you say God, like, you know, the people that knew you back then, back then can be yesterday, guys.
Right.
Back then does not necessarily mean before you met Christ.
Right.
Because a lot of times it's like, yeah, before she met Christ, this person was this, but now they're Christ. Mm. Come on now. When you meet Christ, when you encounter Christ, right, that doesn't mean everything goes
away.
Like,
come on now.
Stop that thought. It doesn't mean that everything just disappears. Like, he's not a magician. He's calling you. And oh, my little sister said to me the other day, she was like, she said to me, she was like, one thing that you have to understand is that when you give yourself to Christ, when you're coming back to God, we were talking about trauma. That's another topic. But we're talking about trauma. And she was like, when you go through trauma and everything and you come back to Christ, you need to understand that you're like a baby. Learning everything all over. Guys, that's how we are. Back then is not back before you met
10
Christ.
Years ago. No.
Back then can be an hour ago. Back then can be yesterday. Back then can be last year. Okay, because every day we are walking to try to live without sin. Live without sin. First of all, we need to understand that you are able to live a life where you don't sin. That's one thing that they've been putting in our head. You're perfect. So that you continue to walk in your imperfections,
you know? Right?
You know, but, and I was telling my sister Georgia on one time in our conversations, I was like, look, baby girl, we've listened to your testimony, we've loved it, we've learned from it, we've repented, we've cried from it. It's time for a new testimony. I don't know if she remembers,
girl, but yeah,
I was telling her, it's time for a new story, and testimony is what will bring people back to God again. It's to give us new wine. New wine required every day. New oil required every day. You know, the wine of yesterday, the oil of yesterday is not going to carry you through today. No. So sometimes when you are exposed, or when, you know, people know you by, oh, this girl used to do this, or this person,
you have a name.
Yeah. And myself, guys, I was such an angry person. When I tell you guys, anger resided. Anger had a dwelling place in my heart. And up until this day, I pray and I tell God to help me. Because sometimes I'm a person of few words. But man, when I speak, I will make you regret knowing me. And that's bad. But that's what my family, my friends, they tagged me for it. Like angry, like they put at this, they put anger and they combine it. You know? But I, every time I look at myself, I'm like, wow, I'm amazed. And my parents are like, oh, wow. And other people are like, oh my God, is this you? You know, but that doesn't mean, you know, that, oh, now today, when I get angry, when I get stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you're not saved. Oh, you're not this. No, that's what I'm saying. Your back then can be yesterday, can be an hour ago. Every day, sans progrès. You know what I'm saying? Like, God is, is how do you call it? Crushing you, you know?
Breaking you, yeah.
Breaking you, exactly. Breaking you. Breaking those grapes so it can give you now a new wine, pressing it.
All right.
Yeah. Right. You're back then, see, about, you know, 10 years ago, 20 days ago, it can be a second ago. They knew you a second ago as someone that masturbated because they masturbated. Still use that, even though you're already in the church, even though you're already in the choir.
Girl,
my sister Georgia, remember one time I was supposed to sing at one of the conferences,
girl,
we had, and I couldn't sing.
We bought the uniforms and everything.
We bought the uniforms and everything. And then one time I hear our choir leader at the time, she's saying stuff like she had a dream of I don't know, something about that had to do with sexual immorality, a dream or a vision, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
She did not aim it at me specifically or told me that I did it, but guys, where I was at, I knew I had done it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And I called. I called my spiritual mother and I told her, and she was one of the choir leaders as well. And I told her, and I said, "Mommy, this is what I've done." And that lady, she would ask me details. Oh, I love her. She would ask, "How did it happen? Where were you? How? You know. And
but I, one thing that you don't know though, when you're talking like that, you're putting the devil in a position where, yo, I can't do this anymore, because she's gonna say all my tricks. Mm-hmm. You are shaming the devil when you're speaking it out loud.
She had a way of making me do that. Like, when I tell you, she would ask me questions. Like, Georgia, like, even when you go and tell your girlfriends things, you're not really telling all those details.
Right.
She asked me, "How did it happen? What was playing on TV? What were you watching? What led to that?" You know? Mm. But I love her because everything was with love. And
right.
I love it. She counseled and she told me, and I didn't sing.
Yeah, I was so shocked. We all came.
They told daddy I didn't sing for that conference. And the girls were asking me in the choir, "Why aren't you singing?"
And the worst part was, you know what? She was wearing the uniform. Weren't you? Weren't you wearing the uniform?
I was wearing the uniform.
She was wearing the uniform, and she's in front of me. I'm like, why is she there? What?
but it
was important. It was important.
It was. And at the end of it, and you know, my spiritual mother was like, "It's so good that you came out and you said it, because many people, they like to serve. Serving is wonderful.
Right.
But when you get on that altar, you're either cursed or blessed."
Right.
Because if you're going on that altar with all those dirty things you're doing, being fake in the sight of God, you thinking, "I'm serving." No, you're acquiring curses upon yourself.
Right.
Because you're standing on the holy ground with your shoes on, with your sexual morality on, you know?
Mm. So, it's a judgment, yeah.
It's a judgment. So yeah, that's how I understand. Like that, so many things that the Holy Spirit just helps us to expose, or he exposed and he puts it out there. Let's not be like, let's be receptive. Is that how you say it? Be open, accept it.
Yeah.
It's for your good. But yeah.
This was so amazing. Honestly, like, it made me see things in a different way as well. Sometimes we think darkness is only like the sin, like, you know, sexual immorality and all these things, but it could just be anything, you know? And I like how even in the Bible, Jesus was telling Nicodemus that people loved the darkness, you know, and their evil ways. And that's the plan of the devil, to make you love sin. Why is it that when you're watching a movie, you can watch 5 movies at the same, like one after the other, but when it's time to read the Bible, you're falling asleep? Or when it's time to pray, you start yawning and all that, you know? People just unconsciously, we don't know, but we love darkness. And even Paul says it, what I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. People have rejected the light. And when we talk about the light, it's himself, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But when you make of Jesus your Lord, he not only just rescues you from the darkness, but you're no longer ignorant in the wrong things that you do or you're doing. And at that moment, God's love, like, it's, you know, you start feeling God's love. You start seeing God's love in everywhere. And not only that, like it says in the book of Joel, he pours out his spirit in you. You know, and you walk with the Holy Spirit and he teaches you things. At that moment, you don't need to do any efforts for anything. You need advice, Holy Spirit, what do you say? You need counseling, Holy Spirit, what you say? At that moment, your life is completely in complete guidance, let's say, of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be ashamed of anything. Like we said, you don't have to be ashamed of your past, because at the end of the day, it's a testimony. Yeah. It's to bring other people to Christ. It's for some people, they like to see, to believe. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have testimonies. You know, they have to see to say, no, there is a God. And some people, you can just talk to them about God and they believe. But some people, they have to see, yo, she was in the coma. She was in depression. And look at her. She's preaching the word. She's praying. The sick are healed. The dead are rising. I must look for this God. And that's how I came about in the church. I was going to the club and doing all these things, being so impolite to my brother. But he was just being so nice to me. He was cooking for me, giving me money. And then at the end of the day, I'm just like, he has a good heart. And what does he do to have that good heart? I came to acknowledge that he goes to church. And I'm like, if he goes to church and has a heart like that, I want to have a heart like him. And so I started going to church, and that's when I encountered God. So you don't have to be ashamed of your past. You don't have to be ashamed of what people know. Even sin cannot hold you back from God's love.
Yes, yes.
Sin has no power to hold you from God's love. Sin does not intimidate God. You know, he loves the sinner, but he hates sin.
That's, you know, exactly.
So this episode was just epic. If we continue, we could do 5 hours. But
at this point, right?
I think the message was important, and I think we all got the message. So if you have anything to say to close up, my sister, you have anything to anything you want to say?
So what I can say, like, as like a last word, is that let's accept constructive criticism, or let's not even constructive criticism, but let's be okay with God exposing us. You know, because it's a form of love, guys. People are out there doing things, even people that are in the church, they're doing things, and God showing it to anybody, and they're perishing. You know? But if God, who are, like the Bible says, right? Then it says that who is man that you're
so mindful? Yes,
you know, God is mindful of you in every way, shape, and form, and if going, he's moving even his an inch of him to show somebody. Like, he's literally going to that person to show them about you. Who are you? There are other people out there that are, you know, you can literally call them saints living on earth. You know what I'm saying? But God is showing someone about you, or God is exposing the things that you're doing. Accept it. Even if the person that's delivering it is coming at you with judgment, it's okay. Take it back to your Heavenly Father and say, oh Lord, I thank you so much, because once again, you've shown me your love, because you don't want me to perish in this sin. You don't want me to perish in this act. Don't worry about the scandal. Don't worry about how it's going to make you look, because how it's going to make you look right now, you know, like the criticism, the gossip, the whatever, that's just temporary.
Right.
People will talk about it, and a time will come that will forget that.
They're scared about it.
But Lord, is hell temporary? It sure isn't. Hell isn't temporary.
Girl.
Hell is, it's there. It's permanent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So accept to be, you know, like crushed right now. And sometimes God exposes us because we are so prideful.
Exactly. Accept to break us.
Yeah, to break us. Accept the humiliation. It's okay to be humiliated. It's, guys, like, when I tell you guys, I'm someone that still battles with pride. And I tell God, help me, because my ego, you know what I'm saying? But every time God puts me in a situation, and I always say, well, why are you, you know, bringing shame upon me? And he says, it's not shame. It's love. It just come on now, even our parents said stuff when we were little.
Girl.
You know, it was because they loved us and they wanted us to be. So my last one is, accept to be exposed. Accept rebuked. Rebuked by God. Rebuked by a person that you even feel like they're living a worse life than you are.
Because
you can use anybody. Anybody.
Like, but your friends.
Yeah, like my friends are in the word. Yeah, like my own friends that invited me for a drink. They ended up crucifying me for accepting the drink, you know? But it's good. It's good. And also just remember that not because you accepted Christ that everything has vanished. You are a work in process.
Yes.
It's a process. Even if this thing happened yesterday, it's still a process. Don't think that, oh, because now I've been like 20 years in ministry, 5 years in knowing God, 2 years in knowing God, I should be at this level.
Right.
You should be where God wants you to be, where he's breaking you, where he's, you know, it's a dépouille de toutes ces choses. So that it's a process and accept to be rebuked.
Hallelujah. This was so amazing. Honestly, I'm looking forward to the second episode. What is the Lord gonna tell us? I personally learned a lot.
Right.
And I hope, honestly, this podcast helped somebody. It helped you who are listening. And if you want that relationship with the Holy Spirit, just wherever you are, just ask him. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are my Lord, my Savior. He's the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. Say, I accept you in my life. Forgive me of my sins. And I ask that your Holy Spirit dwell within me, walk with me, speak to me, and begin to pray. Do this prayer every single day, and you will see the wonders that he will do in your life. You are an instrument of God. He wants to do something special in your life. He wants to bring you from glory to glory. But first, you have to surrender to him, forsake life of sin, and completely give your life to him, and he will give you a mighty testimony. So this was it, guys.
Yeah.
God bless you until next time. Shalom.
Shalom.